Welcome to the Unstoppable Authors podcast with me, Angeline Trevina.
And me, HB Line. We'll be digging deep into our own experiences and sharing what we've learned along the way to publishing over 15 books between us in 5 years.
We'll share writing tips and tricks for creating immersive worlds and compelling characters for your stories, as well as advice on author life and publishing options.
So get comfy
and grab a cuppa. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Unstoppable Authors podcast. I'm indie author Holly Line, and this is a brand new season, season 4. So today is a solo show, and I have a very special interview for you with the wonderful Meg Cowley. But first, a little update. Angeline and I have taken the last 2 weeks off. This was partially planned. We intended to take a week off for Easter anyway, but because of Coronagate, we've ended up taking a bit longer. We just needed that downtime and, you know, time with our families and time to not stress about having to put this content out. And obviously, we know this is a hard time for a lot of creatives. So if you are feeling stressed and unable to create the content that you normally would, that's okay. You are not alone. And we hope that you've had some time to decompress and maybe listen back to some of our old episodes. But if not, that's okay too. This is a crazy time. It's totally unprecedented. And we're all just trying to get through it the best we can. So we're really thinking of all of our listeners right now, and I hope you're all okay. So I'm working on my goal setting for writer's book at the moment. It's going okay. Not as well as I would have liked, but I'm, like a lot of people, just struggling to manage those creative projects and engage the right parts of my brain that I need. But it's okay. I'm making almost daily progress at the moment. I've found that joining like live writing sprint sessions with other writers has been really, really helpful. And that's when I've managed to get most of my words done. So if you need something like that, let us know. Come along onto our Instagram and DM us or post on one of our posts and let us know that you're interested, and maybe we can look at doing something like that in the coming weeks. So I'm interviewing today Meg Cowley. Now, we recorded this interview a little while ago before the world flipped upside down, and it was a real pleasure to get to talk to Meg. She's a fantastic fantasy writer, and we talked about reader's block, favourite fantasy worlds, how her writing has got darker as she's matured, and her other business as a cover designer. We also talked about cultivating relationships with readers. Meg has a very special launch offer, which I'll talk about more at the end. For now, on with the interview.
Today I'm talking to USA Today best-selling fantasy author Meg Cowley. Meg lives in Yorkshire, England, with her husband, son, and two cats, Jet and Pixie. She loves everything fantasy, magic, and dragons, and has been a writer and artist since she could pick up a pencil. She works best when fueled by Earl Grey tea, margarita pizza, and characters who won't do what they're told. She's passionate about writing sweeping fantasies with characters that could step off the page and worlds that could be as real as our own. Welcome to the show, Meg.
Hey, Holly, thank you for having me.
So what drew you to fantasy?
Oh, I've always been a lover of reading. And I think for me that the first fantasy that I remember picking up was The Hobbit. Mm-hmm. And it was just so absolutely fantastic. I just devoured everything. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a day where you couldn't find me in the library or with a fantasy book in my hands, reading under the covers at night with a torch, even though I got told off for it. It was just wonderful to go to these magical places with these exciting people and have all these grand adventures. It was far more interesting than going to school every day and being very non-magical and boring.
Oh, I could definitely relate to that.
Yeah.
So, all right, we've started by talking about what you read. So let's explore that a little bit. This might be an odd question, but people talk a lot about writer's block. Have you ever had reader's block?
Yes, drives me mad. Yeah, I used to be a complete perfectionist, and if I started a book, I would finish that book if it killed me. But now I'm busy, I have a life, I have so many things to do, and I don't have the time. If you don't grab me in one chapter, I'm done. Like, you're going back on the bookshelf, return to Kindle Unlimited or whatever, I just don't pick it up again. Mm-hmm. And I definitely did go through a couple of years where I just could not find anything to scratch that itch, and it drove me mad. Mm-hmm. But I've stumbled upon a few authors in a niche that I really enjoy reading, so I'm bouncing between their various series and being alternately annoyed that, one, I can't read them all at once, and two, that they're just writing too slowly because I need more books.
Yeah,
in a good place now, but yeah, absolutely, reader's block is a thing.
Yeah, I feel bad for like George R. R. Martin's fans, and
it's never coming.
Is waiting
it?
For so just, long.
Yeah, I feel bad for making my fans write. My fans have been waiting like 9 months for the last book in my series, and I feel guilty for that. So.
Oh, I'm sure they are. They are waiting patiently-ish. Do you read a lot of epic fantasy then?
Yeah, so what I really, really love, and this has evolved over the years, what I love now is character-driven fantasy. Epic fantasy, slightly darker and a bit more realistic, elements of romance, intrigue, that sort of thing. That sort of evolved from the traditional sort of epic fantasy, farm boy adventure sort of interest.
Yeah.
I'm finding that a lot of what I love to read now is written by female authors, which is great because it's really nice to finally find some great talent that I absolutely love to read.
Yeah. Do you have a favourite fantasy world?
Ooh, I'm really loving the Venatrix Chronicles by Sylvia Mercedes right now. The world building is exquisite. The details, the vivid settings, it's like I'm there, and it's got quite a dark vibe to it, and there's some real nasty, malevolent creatures. And genuinely, I couldn't read that book in the dark. I got to a point, and it was so real in my head. The way she had crafted it was so, so evocative. I had to put the book down, wait for daylight, and then I could carry on reading this terribly scary bit. But oh, wow. I love that series. Highly recommend it. She's just released book 5.
Okay, I might have to dip into that. That sounds right up my street. Yeah. So, you have two series that are set in the same world. And did you set about building that world ahead of writing, or did it evolve organically out of the writing?
A bit of both. So I sat down and did what every fantasy author did. I started crafting worlds with like 5 billion years of history. And then by the time you get to the writing stage, you're so bored of the world. You're like, I actually don't want to write. So with this series, the first series in this world, it was quite a careful mix of making sure that I'd nailed the locations that I needed to know about, you know, the laws of magic and nature that I needed to know about, the history that I needed to know about. And there's a common theme here. I was trying not to develop anything completely superficial and that I didn't need. And then from there, once I had those bases, I've latched everything onto those and expanded from there as I've needed to, basically.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. And your more recent series is darker in tone, isn't it, than the more noble, bright side.
Yeah.
So did the world evolve to be darker along with the darker tone of the second series?
Yeah, I would say so. I always describe the first series as a coming of age epic fantasy, but it was also my coming of age as well. I was a very naive young woman when I started writing that, and by the end of it, I'd become a different person. And again, the series that I'm just about to finish now, that's a much darker one, and I've written that through a period of turmoil in my life and sort of exploring that sort of thing, theme, and it's the world sort of ends up fitting around that. So there were some darker elements in the first series for sure, but the focus was on good will always win through and it's all going to be okay, whereas in this series there's various parts where readers are like, oh, is it actually going to be okay?
Yeah.
And at the moment I'm writing a new series set in that world and I'm literally in the middle of a scene of the most horrible beasts chasing my characters and it's going to be a bit terrible, but yeah, you know, makes for good reading.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It's very fun.
So your readers have been waiting 9 months for the next book in this series.
Yeah.
I know that you take a great deal of care in fostering relationships with your readers. And
yes.
I know a lot of writers, myself included, get stuck on what to send, you know, our mailing list during non-launch periods. So can you give us a bit of advice on that? How do you keep people interested?
Sure. It's really difficult because it's how on earth do you approach it? And I think there's not really a right or a wrong way. It depends on the kind of reader you are, the kind of audience you have, and what way the connection is most valuable between the two of you. But for me, I found that starting out, I wasn't really approaching it from the right headspace. And it was very much of, I have this book and I need to sell it. Please, will you buy it? Which doesn't really work. can't imagine why. I only had a breakthrough when I went on maternity leave and I didn't have anything to sell to them and I didn't have any books or anything like that. And then I stepped back to be a reader more than anything else. And it taught me a valuable lesson. I just talked to them like a friend, you know, like we were all bookworms hanging out in the library or down at the bookshop and talking about books that we love, themes that we love in fantasy, all the things that we just enjoy as readers first and foremost. And I found that when I returned off my maternity leave and I started publishing my second series, the response was phenomenal. I had so many engaged people on my advanced review team. I had people reviewing the book, buying the book. It was phenomenal. It was my most successful individual book launches by far. And I hadn't done it intentionally and I hadn't been any more salesy than normal. I hadn't done anything special. But what I cultivated was that genuine relationship of actually caring for my readers as people. And they in turn were gracious enough to care for me and my books in return. So the thing for me has always been, how can I add value to them? It's not that I'm wanting them to buy my books and I'm wanting to see what they can do for me. It's approaching it from a position of, what can I do for them to entertain them, inspire them, educate them, just pass on something fun or interesting. That's really, really key to everything I send out. I've just sent a newsletter now. I'm between launches. We're just offering some free audiobook codes if they want to, you know, listen and review to my books. That's, you know, and I've announced my launch date for the fourth in series as well in that. So hopefully that's, you know, that's something to do with my books. There's an option to pre-order it, but I'm not particularly pushing it. They can get a free audio code if they want to. And I've let them know what I'm reading on Goodreads and said, hey, you know, let me know what you're reading right now. And it's really nice because people email me back, people comment on Facebook threads, and we can just have a genuine conversation. And it's just really lovely. They're all just awesome.
Yeah.
So I would just say, appreciate your readers and, you know, what can you do for them to make their day and their life a little bit better? I think that cultivates a genuine, like, friendship and bond.
Yeah. Do you have a Facebook group as well as your list for your readers?
Yeah, I do. So I have a Facebook group, which has only got a few hundred people in it. But again, it's the quantity, go and chat books, and you know, we have questions every week and I share a weekly update with what I'm writing or what I'm doing. I share pictures of my son or my cats, or you know, ask them questions, share my travel photos, that sort of thing. And again, it's about creating that dialogue and just being genuine and being nice and being genuinely interested in them as well. It's not fake, and it's not put on just to sort of pretend to lure them in or anything like that. It's, you know, these people are genuinely lovely people. They've followed me for years now and it's really nice to see them around online, whether it's email or Facebook, and just say, hey, how are you doing? And, you know, get a response back from them.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds like what a lot of writers are aspiring to, you know, to have that kind of relationship.
I think it's difficult because we know that from a commercial business side of things, we need to sell X amount of books to pay the bills. And I think that can sometimes, not rightly or wrongly, take over things and overshadow how we see nurturing our readership, because it becomes very money driven. And I appreciate that when you are self-employed, it is super hard to make a living, and it's quite a lot of pressure to do this when it's so unpredictable. But I just really try and keep them separate, and hope that, you know, that doesn't come through to my readers, that it's like I'm always like, buy my book, buy this, buy that. I try to like completely not do that.
Yeah. Okay. So what's working for you in terms of marketing in your business right now?
First and foremost, I would say having that genuine connection with readers. Mm. So I rebranded at the beginning of this year to really focus in on what my brand visually looks like and be a lot more intentional and purposeful with how I present myself in my newsletter, on my Instagram, on my Facebook page, with my book covers, blurbs, everywhere that readers will find me, trying to be more conscious about sending one message to them about sort of who I am, what I'm about, you know, what my books are, and they can get a really clear picture of if they like me or not. I think that's quite important as a foundation for successful marketing, because if it's all over the place, it's quite a confusing signal to readers, and they just don't really know what you're about, and it's hard for them to get invested as well. My newsletter and my Facebook groups are constant points of contact for my fans, and again, that's the repeat readers, I guess. You know, they're waiting for my next book and they're invested in the journey and they want to read more. And then other than that, when I'm launching, I use AMS, and then after that I'm finding that Facebook for me is, and some Instagram, is a little bit more of a successful marketing avenue. It's just better converting and getting me a better ROI. I found that AMS has decreased in effectiveness for probably the past 18 months actually. And now I actually really struggle to use it to make good money on a series, so I switch from AMS to Facebook after my launch period.
That sounds sort of the opposite to what a lot of people have been saying, or maybe I'm just a bit behind. But it feels like
the thing is, it can vary by book, by author, by genre. You've got to listen to what everyone's saying, but then you've got to figure out what on earth works for you, because there's not really one right way. I wish there was. It would make life so much easier. But yeah. Unfortunately, you know, you can only wing it on your own terms and see what works.
Yeah, there's a lot of trial and error, isn't there?
Many, many errors. Yes.
Yeah. So what's been the best money that you've ever spent as a writer?
That's really difficult, actually. The best money I ever spent was about 2 years ago on AMS, because I spent money on AMS and it made me a heck of a lot more money, but it just doesn't work like that anymore. So that's definitely the best money I've invested for pure ROI. But as for probably best money invested in general, I would say my editor. She is an absolute gem. Great to work with, gets the style, kind of makes my writing voice better without trying to change it, which I think is really, really key. So I love her, and every dollar I send her way is like a really good dollar spent.
Yeah, it makes a big difference, doesn't it, finding a good editor to work with?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and it's also terrifying because I send her what I think are really good drafts, and I kid you not, the last book she sent back had like 5,000 changes on it, which made me cry a little bit. Oh. But it all made it a lot stronger book, but you know. Yeah. Whereas you've gotta stay humble. We are always learning, right?
Definitely. I know I've learned a lot from working with my editor, and she has helped me to improve so much as a writer. So how many unpublished and half finished books do you have hidden away?
None.
None.
I write purposefully. I write what I want to publish. I don't have time to waste on anything else. I have ideas, and I jot them down just in case they come, to fruition down the line. But yeah, I don't start writing projects unless they're going to get published now.
But do you have anything old from before you took that, you know, intentional approach?
No, not really.
No.
I wrote a couple, you know, like bits and scraps when I was a kid, but now the first book I sat down and write eventually after a lot of editing and rewrites, like so many, the entire, I think like 25,000 words I ended up rewriting of that book. So it's completely changed, but that first book I wrote became the first book I published.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When did you sort of, when in your life did you come round to, you know, being an author and really taking the idea of publishing seriously?
That's a good question. Well, I met one of my favourite authors in 2000 and, God, I'm losing years now, so I'm losing a decade. I think it was 2011 or something, and he inspired me to actually sit down and finish writing that book. And once I'd finished writing it, it just seemed a natural progression of, I've always wanted to be a published author. How could I go about it? Mm-hmm. I looked into Trad and Indie, and Indie was the best model for me. Mm-hmm. So I started looking into that, found Joanna Penn. I ended up publishing that in 2014. Mm-hmm. So it was quite a while after, and it's been quite a while since. But yeah, that's when I got back into it. Mm-hmm. Decided that it was a viable option.
Yeah. And are you indie all the way, or is there a part of you that would like a trad publishing deal?
I'm indie all the way, but I'm getting to the point now where I would consider a trad deal, but not for the reasons that I would have 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So then it would have been absolutely an ego thing to see my name on the shelves. Who wouldn't love that? But now it's purely a business decision and a financial one to reach a greater readership and a different readership to the pool of readers that I can reach now as an indie through Amazon. I'm really keen to seek foreign translation deals and also a 5 to 6 figure English print only worldwide deal. So I'm looking at becoming agented probably later this year and to see if I can find some success with that. And again, it would just be to get to a different share of the market. My dream publisher would be 47 North, which is an Amazon publishing imprint who published Jeff Wheeler and Emily R. King and some other notable names who are just constantly at the top of the sales charts, and you can't buy exposure like that. Mm-hmm. But equally, I don't think they have the market share in the physical bookstores that the Big Five do. So yeah, as a business person, always looking for that at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy with indie.
Yeah. Would you say it's a good idea for most indie authors to keep their options open and consider different avenues?
Yeah, absolutely, because every book and every series is different. Every opportunity is different. Mm. You know, part of good marketing is knowing who your audience are and where they are. I was recently speaking to another leading fantasy indie just about exactly this, and we were discussing how actually the book length, the writing style, the cover style of the very same story is completely different for an indie audience as to a trad audience, and it had actually influenced our decisions as to how to write and cover and market that book based on the audience that we have and that we wanted for that book. So it was hugely interesting to have that conversation, and I think definitely something that indies are really good at is being adaptable and being quite open-minded. And I think that's a really valuable skill to have. So I think it's once you go down the indie path, great, fantastic, enjoy it, make the most of it and reap the rewards, but absolutely don't close any doors.
Sure. And you mentioned covers there, and it would be remiss of me not to mention your other business, which is designing covers. Do you design your own covers, or do you get someone else to do yours?
At the moment, I design my own. I've made a couple of bad choices with designers in the past, and you know, being more naive, shall we call it, before I got a bit more savvy. And now I just prefer the creative control and the ability to take the project from start to finish. And I would not do that if I was not a cover designer and didn't know the genre. I hasten to add, if I didn't have the first clue, I would, you know, there's tons of great designers out there that I would go and hire in heartbeat.
Sure. What sort of proportion of your sort of work balance in terms of the time you spend do you think you spend on writing compared to the cover design?
It can vary. Typically, I mean, when the royalties from the books have gone down, I've done more cover work, or, you know, it's a seasonal thing, just like book royalties. This time of year, it was quite quiet for covers, so I've just written more, whereas a few months ago, covers was absolutely booming, so I took time out from writing to focus on cover work. So I find that it chops and changes, but at the moment, I'm focusing more on writing because I want to get quite a few books published this year, and the cover work fits into, you know, the afternoons and my evenings.
So, as you may know, Angeline and I always do a would you rather question at the end of our episodes, and I thought, we don't normally ask guests, but I thought of one that was perfect.
Go on.
So, would you rather only ever draw dragons or only ever write about them?
See, I love drawing, but the muscle I exercise most at the moment is writing. So I'm going to say writing, because I think I can paint a better picture with my words than with my actual hand right now.
Oh, that's really, really beautifully put. I like that. So thank you very much for joining me. Could you let our listeners know where to find you?
Yeah, sure. So I'm on Amazon, I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Instagram, and you can find the links for all those things on my website, www.megcowley.com.
Excellent. Thanks very much, Meg.
A huge thank you to Meg for giving that interview. Now, since the time of recording, Meg has prepped the launch of her much anticipated book 4 in the Chronicles of Pelennor series, and to celebrate the launch, Meg has a very special offer. Book 1 in the series, Heart of Dragons, is free, and book 2 will be 99 cents from the 27th of April to the 1st of May. You can pick up that first book at viewbook.at/heartofdragons. So make sure you check that out and take the opportunity to read something new if you haven't read her books before. Thanks again for listening. We would really appreciate it if you would grab a screenshot of the show and share it on your social media. We do no paid advertising, so we rely solely on word of mouth, and we really appreciate every single share. We'll be back next week with a brand new joint episode, so tune in for that. Bye!
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Unstoppable Authors podcast. We'll be back next week with more writing and publishing tips and tricks.
You can find us in all the usual places. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and the show notes are at unstoppableauthors.com.
On our website, you can also find the link to join our Guild of Unstoppable Authors, so you never miss an episode, and we will have more goodies for you soon.
If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe and please leave a review.